You ready to get in the Word?
Yes.
Hold up your Bible, say it with me. Say it like you mean it. I know you do. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Oh, you sound so good. Give the Lord a good shout, would you? Amen. All right, open your Bible with me today to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. We're concluding a series on you were made for a mission. You were made for a mission. We've been talking about it all month long. We end this weekend. Can you believe this month is about over already? And next weekend is Labor Day weekend. I mean, that just blows my mind. It's gone so fast. But if you've missed any of it, I encourage you. I really do. You know, we love you so much that we'll give you the services free. You don't have to pay for them. You can go to our website and you can download the podcast if you've missed any of it all month long. Because I promise you, it's life-changing and it's life-giving and it gives you the right perspective about the Christian walk, the balance. Amen? So, you know, the Lord's Prayer, you and I, we know about the Lord's Prayer. Those of us that have been in the church for a while, remember the disciples? They saw Jesus pray and they were so motivated by his prayer life. You know, that really speaks to me, does it to you? Does your prayer life motivate those around you to want to pray? And so Jesus, his did, and the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And so the Lord gave him the Lord's Prayer. We love the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, right? Hallowed be thy kingdom, thy will be. We'll stop there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we love that prayer. It's a model prayer. But, you know, the Bible says that Jesus, right now, Jesus is not on the earth. Jesus is in heaven, and he's praying for you and me. Now, how awesome is that, to know that Jesus is praying for you today? And I'd like to know a little glimpse, wouldn't you, a little tidbit of what he's praying? Now, we don't know everything that he's praying, but we know a little bit of what he's praying. And it's recorded in John chapter 17. It's called the High Priestly Prayer of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the high priest. He's the chief shepherd of the church, the body of Christ, the family of God. And in John 17, if you have a red letter edition Bible, it's all in red letter. That simply means Jesus is talking. And what is he doing? He's praying to the Father for you and for me. And so let's pick it up, John 17 and verse 18. I like it in the Message paraphrase. And Jesus says this: in the same way, Father God, his heavenly Father, that you gave me a what? Mission. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them. Who is them? That's us. The them is us. Christ follower, Christian, believer, born again one. That he gave to them, to us, a what? A mission. So that should encourage you today. That should help you with your self-image. That should help you because, see, how you see your life will shape your life. How you see your life will shape your life. People who get addicted to things, and we all get addicted to something, you know, we're going to all serve somebody, like Bob Dylan said, right? That theologian, Bob Dylan. We're all going to serve somebody. We all get addicted, whether it's television or shopping or sports or whatever. But, you know, our addictions really, you know, they are a substitute for the real thing, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that really can meet all the needs that we have in our life. And we all have the need to be wanted, accepted, and needed, right? We all have the need, psychologists tell us, the search for significance. We all need to know we count. Well, I'm here to tell you today, you count. I'm here to tell you today that you matter, that you're not an accident, that you're not just a person with the 7 billion on the planet right now, close to 8 billion people on the planet. that you have been made for a mission. You got to hear it, right? Should you choose to accept your mission, Mission Impossible, I know you will accept your mission. Amen. Okay, so let's look at it. Acts 20, let's delve a little deeper, find out what is our mission. The Apostle Paul said, I really don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I what? Y'all help me. Look at the overheads, would you? That I what? What's the most important thing in your life? No, Pastor, the most important thing today is that I get my mother-in-law out of my house. No. Pastor, the most important thing is that I get a retirement and I get this house, get that job, that I date this person, that I marry that. The most important thing. No, that's not the most important. Now, all those things are important, but it's not the most important. So according to the Bible, I've been teaching you because I love you dearly, the most important thing you need to know and do as a Christian, right? And he said, the most important thing is that you complete your mission. A lot of Christians don't even know they have a mission. A lot of Christians don't even know they have one. If they find that they have one, they don't know what it is. And then the third category, a lot of Christians, they know they have one, they know what it is, but they're uncomfortable and don't know how to complete it. Well, this whole month, my mission has been to help you complete your mission. And so he said, the most important thing in my life is that I complete my mission. Not just know we have one, church, but complete our mission. Amen. Complete our mission. And what is it, Paul? Tell us what it is. It's the work that the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, gave to each and every one of us. Because every member has a mission, right? And that mission is to what? Tell people outside these four walls the good news. Now, we're completing our series today, but for those of you who haven't been with us, and just a reminder for those that have, because if you don't take a note or two, they tell us that in 3 days, you'll forget 90% of what I teach. And boy, I could get happy about that today, just thinking about that. You know, that if you and I are sitting and we're listening and not taking down a note, that within 3 days, we only retain 10% of what we have heard. So this is life or death we're talking about today. And so notice that every member has a ministry. Do y'all remember that? That every one of us in this room that are Christians, Christ followers, believers, we have a ministry. God didn't leave any of us out. And you say, Pastor, I don't know what mine is. Well, we can help you out in Growth Track 201. We'll help you discover what your ministry is. But just to give you a little insight, the Bible has in the New Testament, if you look at it, it has one another phrases. And we call it in the church the one another ministry. And what is that? When you and I come to church, the church house, the facility, we are the church, I understand that, but we come and meet in the church house. And when we do, we have a ministry. And what is that? We're to look for one another, to encourage one another. Look for those people with a frown, or look for those people that are by themselves. Look for those people that are standing aloof from everybody else, and go introduce yourself and be kind. Random act of kindness, right? We're to encourage one another. We all need encouragement. We're to edify one another. We're to provoke one another to do good works. We're to serve one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to consider one another. We're to esteem one another greater than the other. Am I right, church? So every member, every born-again believer. Now, if you're visiting today and you're a non-believer, we love you. We're glad you're here, but this doesn't pertain to you because you're not in the family of God as right now. So, but this is to us. We have this responsibility. We have this obligation, but I want to ratchet it up. We have this privilege to come here today. See, I didn't come here for me today. I've already been to church last night, 5 o'clock. I came here for you. And for those on television all over the world, in South Africa, in India, Brazil, in Sweden, in Ireland, in UK. I come here for you today. How can I bless you? How can I motivate, inspire? How can I edify? How can I pray for you? How can I make you better than when you came? Now, that's the mindset of a believer, all of us, right, church? And number two, every member has a mission. Every member has a mission. Now, what is the mission? It's outside these four walls. It's not in the four walls. It's outside the four walls. It's when, you know, we used to have in our North Campus, we had a sign over there by that sign, that brick sign. It says, as you leave, you're entering the mission field. Because really, we're all missionaries. We all have a mission. outside these four walls. So when we leave today, we enter into our mission. And what is that? To tell everybody everywhere the good news. Not bad news, but good news. And what is the good news? We just simply tell them, Pastor, I don't know the good news. I don't know the gospel. I don't know the Bible. Well, you don't need to know. All you need to know is tell them your story of what you were like before you found Christ and how your life has changed since you accepted and believed in Christ. Amen? And so you go out there, but you simply tell them, number one, your past can be forgiven. I like that. Your past can be forgiven. You have counseled a lot of people, and I found a lot of people can't get past their past. And so it's good news to let them know that God, you know what? He'll forgive us of our past. And someone said that he puts it, our past, in the sea of forgetfulness. And then he puts up a sign that says, no fishing here. I like that, don't you? So the good news is we tell people your past can be forgiven. Number two, a purpose has been given. You can live life with a purpose. You're made for a mission. You're not a mistake. You're valuable. You're needed. You're wanted. You're accepted. And then number three, psychologists tell us the number one fear of humanity is the fear of death. And the second greatest fear is the fear of public speaking. So the number one fear is the fear of death. Church, we have the answer for that. We have a solution for that, right? Because we can tell them, in Christ, you have a place in heaven. A place in heaven. Didn't Jesus say, I got to go away and I'm going to prepare a place, a mansion for you in heaven? That's good news, wouldn't you say, church? And then last week we said, number three, that every Christian is not only has a ministry, has a mission, but you have a message. You have a message. You're a messenger. And a messenger has a message. And what is your message? It's your life story. It's your testimony. You see, your testimony is more powerful than my teaching. Oh, come on now. You see, now, in the house here, we need the teaching and the equipping. But outside there today, people don't even believe in the Bible. They want to burn the Bible. They want to bury the Bible. They say the Bible is a history book. Just a bunch of men got together and wrote it. Why should I believe in it? So in the year that we live in, the decade that we live in, out there, scriptures won't get their attention. It really won't. And the Bible, I start quoting scriptures, give them a homily, give them a sermon. I'm going to turn them off, and they're just going to walk away. So what will get their attention? Your testimony, your life story. Because, see, you've experienced it, and they can't get you to deny what you've experienced, right? And so you can relate to them through your testimony. Now, watch this. When we relate to them, we then can reach them. You can't reach people you don't relate to. You can't reach people you don't relate to. You can't reach people you don't relate to. You can't impact people you don't identify with. You can't impact people you don't identify with. You can't impact people you don't identify with. So it's real important then that you realize how important your testimony is. And last weekend, I told you how to do it and how to give it and how to share it and how all that works. That was last weekend. Now, we're concluding our series today, and so I want you, if you would, to go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Am I helping anybody so far? Okay, so it's so important that we have the balance of receiving and giving, right, church? We don't just come here to sit and soak and sour, get cynical, and be spiritual, holier than thou, judgmental and critical and religious. No, freely we receive, freely we give when we leave this campus. Is that right, church? That's a balanced Christian. So, a balanced Christian life. Now, look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Y'all ready? Yes. Jesus called out to them and said to his disciples, come, follow me, and I will show you how to do what? Fish for people. He said, come. He said, follow, and I will show you how to fish for people. Now, I want to give you a one-liner that's really huge, and that's this. If I'm following, I'm fishing. Now, that's not to condemn anybody, because I'm here to set you free, because a lot of you think you can't fish, and you can fish. You can soul win. See, the church here today, and I'm just so thankful, you know, for what God's doing in our church and your family, right? I'm so thankful. And I thank God for our worship. Our worship has never been better. It's authentic. You know, you and I are worshiping from the front to the back. It's real. It's not showing off. It's not impressing. There's no egos up here. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that refreshing? And you and I, you know, we get stronger through worship. And then the teaching of the word. You know, we've got to have the teaching of the word. It causes us to go deeper in the Lord, rooted, grounded in God. And you know, small groups. Next month, I'm teaching a series on how to get the church warmer. The church gets warmer through relationships. Right, church? Yeah, that's next month. Warmer through relationships. But the only way the church gets larger, the only way any church that preaches Christ will get bigger is through evangelism. Oh, we're going to have a big event, and we're going to bring in, you know, the greatest speaker and this, that, and the other. That's just trading sheep from church to church. I mean, that's cool, you know, but, you know, the church has their own Hollywood, by the way. And some people think that, you know, talent is anointing. Charisma is anointing. And my brother and sister, it's not. Okay? It's not. And so it's important then that we understand that the church is only going to get larger through evangelism, or you and I fishing for people. What we do when we leave here and we go out into the world with our mission. So notice, if I'm following Christ, I'm to be fishing. In other words, if I'm a Christ follower, if I'm a Christian, if I'm born again, then I should be reproducing myself, right? Sheep begat sheep, right? So if I'm following, I'm fishing. Now, if I'm following and not fishing, then I'm not a very happy, fulfilled, satisfied Christian. Really. You know, it's when you give something away, especially your testimony and your story, makes you feel good. Makes you feel fulfilled and satisfied because you're doing what you were created to do. But Christians who all they do is go to church and that's it. It stops there. You go there and it stops there. It doesn't leave there. They're miserable. They're religious. They're not making any impact. And their kids, when they grow up, won't go to church because they saw hypocrisy in their parents. Am I helping anybody here today? Okay, so notice he said, if you're following, then you're fishing. If you're following, then you're fishing. Right, church? So say it with me. I am a follower, and I am learning how to be a better fisher. I know it's bad English, but it works, okay? Now, notice this, church. Notice this. He didn't say, come, follow me, and I'll make you a hunter. I'm coming over here. Can I get a better witness over here? He didn't say, come, follow me, and I'll make you a better hunter. He said, I'll make you a better fisherman. Oh, is that a big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal. Now, see, I grew up in Iowa, and, you know, Iowa is known for a lot of things, but one of the things it's known for is cornfields. And in the fall, they are pheasants in them cornfields. And I grew up, my family, my grandfather on both sides were hunters. They loved to hunt. They loved to hunt. My uncles were hunters. They loved to hunt. And, you know, in our family, the Blunt family and the Ruby family, you know, everybody, all the men, when you got together, you went hunting. Because you were bad to the bone. You just went hunting, you know. And you, if you didn't go hunting, there was something weird with you, okay? So I grew up around that. I grew up in Iowa. I grew up around a family that they were just natural hunters. And they hunted all kinds of stuff. But really, especially, they loved to go pheasant hunting. And the family would get together and, you know, we'd fellowship and this, that, and the other. And all the men would go hunting and, you know, this, that, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I grew up in that, okay? So I understand, and I'm not against hunting, okay? But you know what? I just don't like to hunt, okay? I just don't like to hunt, but I do like to fish. Now, here's what I know. Hunters are aggressive. Hunting is all about hunting down with a gun and a bullet. Aggressive. Fishing is all about attraction. Fishing is all about lures. Fishing is all about attraction, the law of attraction. So really, you know, notice he didn't call us to be hunters. He called us to be fishers of men, of people. So what is he saying? Don't be aggressive and hurt people, preach at people, wound people, judge people, criticize people, get down on people, You know, don't put notches in your gospel gun. Yeah? What is he saying? You're to go out and fish. Well, I love to fish. You know, I love to fish. And you know, what do you do when you fish? It's all about attracting the fish with different kinds of lures. Different lures for different fish. You got to identify to impact. Are you with me? You got to relate to reach. So we've all been called to fish. In other words, live a life that's attractive. Work at work that's attractive. A character that's attractive. A disposition, a personality, an attitude, an outlook, behaviors that are attractive, not repelling. Am I helping anybody today? So, you know, let's just go a little farther, then we'll come back. Is that okay? Okay, so I'm going to pull it back in, and let's look at a scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And look what what's the first two words here? Whoa! So we're to work hard at fishing. We're to work hard at fishing. We're to work hard at random acts of kindness. We're to work hard to be intentional and on purpose as we go out into our mission field, the world, and tell everyone everywhere the good news. Tell them our message. Tell them our life story, our testimony. But we're not to do it with a wrong attitude or a religious attitude. We're not to be aggressive and holier than thou, but we're to be attractive. We're to fish, not hunt. Am I helping anybody today? But we're to work hard at it. We're to work hard at it. We're to work hard at it. We're to be intentional with our random acts of kindness. And don't forget the cards that the team have put together for you and me. You can get as many as you want on the way out today. And these are really awesome, aren't they? Random act of kindness. It says, just a little extra to show you God is for you. And then on the backside, and we are too. That's kindness. That's attractive. Especially when you put something with it. Amen? So your gift will make room for you. Your gift will open doors for you. So, you know, this week there's a coffee shop that I like to go to in St. Charles. And at that coffee shop, they have a fishbowl. And when you pay, then they have a fishbowl. That's to put your tip in there. And a lot of business guys and gals, they put their business card in there, and they put a little tip with it. So this week when I went and got coffee there, guess what Wah did? Wah. Guess what I did? I said, you know what? I'm going to give them a tip, and I'm going to put the card around it, and I'm going to put it in the fishbowl. I'm going to make sure that you can see it through the fishbowl of all the other cars. What is that? Intentional. What is that? Not yelling at them, screaming at them, complaining at them because the coffee was wrong. That's not attractive. Okay? So he said, work hard so God can say to you, well done. So see, I want you to know your mission. I want you to know how to fulfill your mission. I want you to complete your mission so when you get to heaven, you can say to God, boy, I'm thankful for Church on the Rock family. They taught me how, and now you're saying, well done. Right? So you're going to have to work hard if you're going to finish and complete and fulfill your mission. It's not automatic. It's not accidental. It's a lifestyle. Effort, energy, intentionality. So he said, work hard so God can say to you, well done, be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. Know what the word says and means. One more scripture. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9. You still with me, church? Okay. He said, when I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness. Remember, you got to relate to reach. You got to identify, not to impress, but to impact. So he said, when I'm with the weak, I'm weak, and I share the weakness, for I want to bring the weak. Okay. Yes, I try to find. Wow, scripture, common ground. You're looking for common ground when you're fishing. You're looking for common ground. Their interest and your interest matches. Their interests and your interests match up. Your hobby, their interest, your interest. You have a common bond. There's a common ground. That's what you're looking for. See, you're not looking for people who are, they don't want to receive. You're looking for those who are receptive. Right? Right? You're not looking for those who are resistant, but you're looking for those who are receptive. If you're here today, I know we have some watching by television that you're resistant. You know, some of you are here today. You came. Some of you were drugged. Not drugged, but drugged. to church here today. And I'm glad you're here, but I'm not trying to convince you. If you're resistant, I can't help you. I can love you and pray for you, but please, I'm not on your back, and your family's not on your back, okay? We just love you and want you to know that God's for you and God has purpose for your life. But I can't help you, and I'm not going to preach hellfire and brimstone to you, and I'm not going to prejudge you, okay? But there are people here today, and there are people watching on television today that are receptive. And so when you're fishing, you want to look for receptive people. You don't want to work on those that are restrictive and those who are resistant. You want to look for those who are what? Receptive. Now, at my house, I live out in the country, lived there for 20 years. I got a pond in the back of our house. Out there, I got a pond. And years ago, you know, we made it bigger. And years ago, because I like the fish, and years ago, we put stocked it. And we put, you know, bluegill and bass, and we put catfish in there, and the only people that can fish in there is me and my family, praise the Lord. And so those dudes, they've been growing, you know, we'll feed them, that's not fair, but we'll go get fish food, and we'll feed them, they'll come up to the shore, they're getting big, amen. So, you know, my grandkids, and I love being a grandfather, and my grandkids, they like the fish, if they're catching. This is a little revelation for you. If you're a grandkid, you take them fishing, and they don't catch fish, they don't want to fish anymore. But if they're catching fish, man, they're ready to go, okay? So this has never happened 20 years. This has never happened 20 years. I've never seen this happen 20 years. And the other day, they all came out, and we went fishing. We got our little zip codes, you know, for them from Walmart, and we got put the bait on the fish. And we went around there, the pond. Now, we all know that fish are hungry at different times of the day. People are more receptive at different stages of their life. Fish are more receptive and more hungry at different times of the day with different lures and bait. You know, you use that old stinky bait for the catfish, but you got different lures for the bass. Can I have a witness in the house? So, see, we're making the analogy between fish and people because he said if you're following him, you're fishing for people. And what we need to understand is just like fish, you know, there are different times of the day. You know, some people say go out early in the morning, you'll catch fish. Some say, you know, don't go at noon, go late afternoon. Some say go before it rains, don't do it, go after it rains, don't do it. I've got friends, I used to have a barber that he would fish at night. He went fishing at midnight and caught fish. The thing is that we want to learn is fish are hungry at different times of the day. Liken that to people in your world are more receptive to God at different seasons of their life. When are they receptive? When there's a great change going on in their life. When they've gone through a great hurt. When they have an unmet need. When they're going through a crisis. When they're going through a divorce. When they've been to the doctor and there's no help for them in their health. People are more receptive to God at different stages of their life, different times of their life. They're more receptive than they are resistant to the gospel. What you and I need to look for is fish that are ready, receptive, and ripe. You ever thought about this? When the fruit is ripe, you don't have to yank it off the tree. So a lot of times we get frustrated and we're trying to catch fish that aren't hungry, that are resistant. So when we were out there the other day, I've never seen this. You know, it was a certain time of the afternoon. It was on Sunday after church. And the kids, they were throwing that. Actually, and Daniel was doing it too. They were walking around the pond, casting in, catching one. And they weren't even sitting down. They were walking around the pond. Harold, they were walking. You've seen my pond, Harold. They were walking around the pond. They were just throwing in there one after another. I'd say that's the kind of fishing you like, right? I mean, they were just throwing it in. Look, Papa, get a picture. And rolled it in. Threw it back out. Look, Papa, wow. I mean, just one after another. What were they? Hungry fish. There have been other times we went out to that pond, spent a half of an evening, and caught diddly squat. They weren't receptive. They weren't hungry. Likewise in the people, right? So look what he says. I look for a common ground with everybody, doing everything I can. Doing everything I can as the team comes out. Doing everything I can to save what? Some. Can't save all. I can only save those who are receptive. And people are receptive in different times, seasons of their life. Usually with an unmet need. usually with a crisis, usually with a hurt, usually with a major change. They're more receptive because they're looking around for help, and they're looking for someone like you that will be attractive, a fisherman, not a hunter, that will be there and share your story and your testimony of what it was like for you when you went through the same thing. Am I helping somebody today? All right, next verse, verse 23. I do everything I can. Oh, my goodness. I do everything I can to spread the good news and share its blessings. Okay, you ready for some principles real quick? They'll be on the screen. You can take your smartphone, take a picture, and get it real quick. If you'd like to, guys, let's put it up. Could we? All right, how do I fish for souls? How do I fish for souls? Number one, I need to know God can use me, and I'm to do everything I can to be a better fisherman every day of my life. Be intentional, do it on purpose. You know, anybody can put a lure on a hook. Pastor, I don't like those worms, greasy, grimy gopher worms. I don't like those long ones, skin ones, fat ones. Well, then get you one of those fancy bass lures that are really sparkly and really cool and really awesome and go bass fishing. But everybody can bait a hook. Can I have a witness in the house? All right? So God can use me. Number two, identify my pond. You got to identify your pond. Well, Pastor, what's my pond? Who's my people? Who's my congregation? First of all, you. You can't take people where you haven't gone, where you haven't been. So then number two would be in your pond that you're fishing for would be your family. And then it would be your relatives. And then it would be your friends. And then it would be your coworkers. And then it would be those you do hobbies with. That's your pond. But then you're not fishing for everybody, right? You're only fishing for those who are receptive. Those who aren't resistant, no. Those who are receptive. And then next, number three, you learn about those in your pond. You learn about those in your pond. Everybody say learn. You know, so what are we looking for, Pastor? Three things. You want to learn what their interests are. You want to learn what their interests are. Number two, you want to learn what their needs are. Needs. And number three, their hurts. Interest, needs, and hurts. Interest, needs, and hurts. And then next, number four, fish are hungry at different times of the day. So you and I want to be led. We're going to look for people and fish that are hungry, right? Not those that are resistant, but those who are receptive. I can't help anybody who's resistant here today, who's looking at their watch and saying, man, I can't wait to get out of here, beat the Baptist to the buffet line. I mean, I got to get out of here. My wife drugged me, my husband drugged me. Well, we're so glad you're drugged. I mean, that you got here. We really are. But I'm not preaching at you or against you. I'm loving you because I really can't help you today, and I get it. But there are people who are receptive and ready and ripe. You're going through a tragedy, a crisis, have an unmet need, a hurt, you're lonely, empty, loss of a loved one, just lost your job, bad report from one of your children, and you're looking, you're searching, and you came to the right place. All right? So let's go a little farther. Am I helping anybody? All right, so what do I do with people who are resistant, Pastor? They're resistant. Because, you know, the Bible says that there are people, you'll see this term in the New Testament, people who are far from God. And then it says there are people who are very far from God. And then the Bible says, especially in the book of Ephesians, there are people who are near to God, and there are people who are very near to God. Amen. So what do I do for those who are resistant? They are far and very far from God, and they're my family, Pastor. Pastor, they're my relatives. It's my aunt. It's my uncle. It's my cousin. I care about them. Because I care, I'm aware of their interests and their needs, and their hurts. I'm aware of that, Pastor. What do I do? Here's what you do. A, pray for them daily. Do y'all remember I said get a prayer list of 10 people you want to fish for this year? And pray for them daily. B, build a relationship through serving. Start serving them. Send a card. Do a text. Do an email. Go by. You know, mow a yard. Bake a cake. You know, buy some groceries, whatever it is, serving. You know, service, random acts of kindness opens hearts. And then, C, bring them to an event at Church on the Rock. Notice I didn't say bring them to church. I said bring them to an event at Church on the Rock. You bring them to an event because an event is safe. They're saying there won't be anything weird happen in an event, and it's a safe place. And they'll come with you to an event before they'll come to you with you to church. And so then what do we do next, D? Then we just simply make up our mind we're not going to argue with them. We're not going to debate. We're not going to argue. We're not going to try to convince, right? Because we're not hunters. We're fishermen, fisherwomen. You know, what are we doing? Not through being aggressive, religious, but through the law of attraction. The law of attraction. We want to attract them by our lifestyle to God. And then last but not least, F, share your testimony and your life story. Amen, church? Did it help anybody? Give the Lord a good thank you for his word today, would you?